Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fearless Generations with Terry Sayer and Kelly Fox.
Hello, and welcome to Fearless Generations. This is Kelly Fox, and I am here. And we're talking the 12 steps to freedom. Tonight, we are continuing along with step number 4, compassion. And our emphasis tonight is kindness. And of course, with all of our topics, we start with kindness to ourselves. And then how does that apply outward? And tonight with me, I have, hopefully soon, I will have the beautiful Terry Sayer. I'm not sure why she hasn't called in yet.
Well, that's because the phone won't work.
Oh, there you are. So you called in from a different
number. Jay's phone. I'm talking on Jay's phone because my phone is only have 11%, and he's trying to get the other phone to work for me.
Ah, all right. Well, good then. We're glad we have you.
I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad that you're here.
Yes. So,
You Terry, can unmute me now. Did you unmute me?
Oh, I unmuted the phone you're on currently. You want me to unmute
now.
The other one?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I will mute.
You hear me?
The other phone.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear
Good.
You. You're kind of echoing, though.
Oh,
but,
well, it's a house phone.
Yeah. All right, well, I will let you take it back over since this is your month to lead us in.
Well, we're just really excited.
I'm
up here at Kelly's house in Fresno this evening because, for one thing, I had to pick up some paperwork, but the main thing I wanted to do was to see our new baby, Griffin, who was born on January the 4th. So we have this brand new, beautiful little baby boy that's just as cute as can be. And if you have Kelly as a friend on Facebook, you've seen how cute he is. So we had quite an exciting week, didn't we, Kelly?
Yep.
So on what day was he born? On Thursday.
The 4th.
Was that the 4th, a Thursday? Wednesday.
I don't remember.
So he was born on Wednesday the 4th, and then on Saturday. I think you came home on Friday morning, though, huh?
Yeah, well, Friday afternoon.
Yeah, Friday afternoon, and then Saturday, everybody came to my house. We had 28 people, I think it was, at my house to take family portraits because as I had told you last week, my mother was visiting me from Arizona, and we were going to do a 5-generation picture, and we probably ought to post that picture on our website. Because
yeah,
that's a
one.
Real composite of fearless generations, all the way from my mother, who's 94, down to Liam, who was 2 days old, 3 days old.
Griffin.
Right? 5 generations.
Griffin.
Oh,
yeah.
I said Griffin instead of Liam. And I said, yeah, whatever. I said the wrong name. I'll probably call him the wrong name his whole life. But anyway, that was pretty exciting to have so much of my family all there. When you talk about connections, that's a lot of connections going on, right? So, and connections is that was our theme for last month, and we're doing compassion this month. But when you have that many people connecting, you need a lot of compassion. So it was a good time to practice compassion for oneself as well as for all those other people that were there.
Yeah.
Poor little 94-year-old mothers. I don't think she'd ever been in a room with that many kids at once before since she taught school. So it was quite an adventure. She thought that she wasn't even going to get to see Griffin. She thought she'd have to look at him through a mirror, you know, and through a glass, you know, how they used to have, you had to look through into a nursery to see babies. She had no idea when we walked in to see Kelly that the baby would be right there and she'd get to hold him. She hasn't stopped talking about that. I just talked to her on the phone because she just went home today, and she's still talking about how exciting that was to get to hold a brand new baby like that, and that was pretty exciting for her. So we had a pretty exciting week and a lot of opportunities to. Oh, Jay just reminded me that Skylar was the fifth generation, not Griffin. And Skylar is my grandson's baby. So anyway, we still had five generations there in the picture, and we should probably put that up and let everybody see that. Even though it's not your baby, it's my great-grandbaby.
Mm-hmm.
So let's jump right into our topic for tonight. This will be our second week on the topic of compassion and how compassion plays out in our journey and strategies we can use to incorporate compassion for ourselves first and then being able to share that compassion with those we love and those we meet, those that we connect with. So, Kelly, what were your thoughts this week as you went through the partnership with our Heavenly Father to bring a new soul to the earth? And I had your kids for a good part of the week, so you kind of, I know you were missing them, and we're glad to get them home again. And I missed them when they left because it was really fun having them around, because Kelly's kids are really special. They're so sweet and so kind, and talk about compassion. They have great compassion for each other and for me, their grandma, and their great-grandma who was there as well. So it was a big pleasure to have them in my home for, I had Arisa for I think over a week, and then the other girls came as well, and it was just really, really fun. So it was great evidence to me that compassion is a natural quality that many people have and practice, and it was a pleasure.
Well, thank you. They love being at their Nana's house, so they know they have to behave or they don't get invited back as often. So, I think that I experienced compassion for myself quite a bit this last week. Just having compassion for myself leading up to having Griffin, because my body was just giving me such a hard time. And my emotions and hormones, and then, you know, the actual act of giving birth, I had to have a lot of compassion for myself and Jay even, just because it's a very painful process, and unfortunately I didn't get to the hospital in time to get an epidural, so it was much more painful than I wanted it to be. But he came out and he was healthy and good, and that's really what is important. And he has been, you know, it's been very surreal. I don't know if that's the right word, but having him here, having another little baby and seeing how he, you know, is slowly getting incorporated into our thought process of our family and the, you know, the kids and how they're interacting with him and how our youngest, now he's not our youngest, but Liam, how he's, you know, coping with not being the baby and, you know, just all the new worries and expectations that might come with a new child in the family, and how are we going to address those and how are we going to process it and go forward. And so I've had a lot of kindness towards myself of just dealing with the pain and then also afterwards just allowing myself, you know, that time to rest and to be kind to my body as it now starts healing from the process of you know, being pregnant and then also having a baby. And I've been celebrating like the little victories that I have, you know, being able to bring my knees up to my chest, being able to see my feet, You know, being able to, you know, just move a little bit more easily and all of those kinds of things that I haven't been able to do, to be able to lay on my back, to be able to, you know, breathe normally, and not having someone constantly moving around inside of me and hurting my back. So, you know, I've been really, you know, celebrating those moments and appreciating that you know, amount of relief that I've been given. And then just really kind of savoring those moments of, you know, skin to skin with Griffin and, you know, especially those first moments in the hospital. And just really enjoying that, but also just having, you know, just allowing myself to be okay with whatever decisions and whatever, you know, needs that I have as well, and not just thinking about Griffin or thinking about Jay or thinking about the kids, but also putting myself in the mix, which is not something that I generally do. So that was really nice to be able to go, you know what? I need this, and, you know, being okay with it, not beating myself up about it. And I think that that is really cool that I was able to do that, and then so celebrating that as well.
That is. That's great. Really good. I think you brought up several strategies that you're using in terms of applying the principle of compassion, and you said, I heard you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, I heard you say that you're being kind to yourself, and that's one of the ways that we can show ourselves compassion, is to be mm-hmm. kind to ourselves. And some of the things that you said were asking for what you needed and being mm-hmm. aware of the healing process and allowing yourself to take the time to heal. And so those are some really proactive strategies that you've been able to implement and articulate that help you to have compassion for yourself. So let's think about some other ways that we can show ourselves compassion and then in turn be able to show that compassion to others as well. So for me, with just for an example, with Liam this weekend, because he was having a really hard time adjusting to the picture-taking process that we were doing at the house with everyone, because everyone was really fussing over Skylar, who's my great-granddaughter, and Griffin. And so I think, you know, having compassion for him and realizing that, you know, he was feeling some feelings of maybe rejection. I mean, he can't really say because he's so young, but you can speculate the kinds of feelings that he might be having around someone taking his place, the new baby. And so I was thinking about that later in the day after everyone had left and it was quiet. And I was thinking about the need to show him compassion and to give him a break and to show him how much he means to the family and how important he is. And it was just a time to reflect on the kinds of compassion that we can show to others. And just like we need to be kind to ourselves and give ourselves a break, and but not let ourselves off the hook, because we talked about that last week as well. So he still mm-hmm. needed to participate in the pictures, and he still needed to keep his brother safe, but at the same time, it was important that he felt needed and he felt safe and he felt loved and appreciated. So being able to be kind and see the innocence in his behavior and really practice compassion for him when he's experiencing this new, it was totally new environment for him to have this little baby here and, mm-hmm. and sort of taking his place. So I was thinking of that in terms of compassion and some strategies and tools that you can use when you are practicing compassion for others as well as for yourself. And they're almost identical, but it's, I think, seeing their innocence is really important, and being able to put yourself in their position and have empathy for mm-hmm. the feelings that they might be experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that's really important. And, you know, we've been that day, especially because it just came out so much with his behavior. You know, we really tried to take that little bit of extra time to, like Jay went for a walk with him several times that day, just him and dad. And, you know, we were trying to give him that extra, you know, little bits of attention when we could, so that to see if that would help with, you know, adjusting his attitude or behavior. And I think that our efforts to do so has started to help. He was in a much better mood today, and we even had other extra people in the house for the last couple of days. My best friend came up from San Diego to help out and spend some time with us and see the baby. And so it was, I think, hopefully if we continue to do that, that he's going to adjust, hopefully easier and be, you know, have that kind of attitude situation not continue, hopefully.
Yeah.
But we'll see. He's still three.
Well, it's an example of practicing, you know, practicing several of the steps. It's, first of all, being aware that there's a situation that's affecting him totally different than it's affecting anyone else, and then having a willingness to analyze that and to think about that and then to feel that. So, you know, combining head and heart and recognizing the feelings that he might be going through, and then trying to satisfy those feelings and connect with him at that feeling level so that he feels that love and compassion,
mm-hmm.
so that he can better adjust to the new circumstances. But I think it's probably important as well to recognize that it's a process and that he may do really well one day and the next day he may have a hard time again, you know, and that will
mm-hmm.
probably continue for most of his life, you know.
Yep.
Because
that's how life is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it is. And Kelly's, as I mentioned, Kelly's kids really do get along really well. Maybe they get along better at my house than they do in their normal situation. But even mm-hmm. my mother, who was visiting, commented on how kind they were to each other and the compassion they showed each other. And so it's a way of living, and I think it's commendable when your children demonstrate that way of thinking and doing and being, is to have compassion and empathy for one another. And it's not that you can have, you know, that's in the family you're going to have that 100% of the time, but it's something you can work toward, and recognizing how much that helps a family to run smoothly and to have that love and harmony that we so desire in our homes and with our families. So,
mm-hmm.
I just want to commend Kelly for living these principles and practicing these principles and working at them at the best she can, and giving herself a break and being kind to herself in order to not become discouraged or to hold expectations that may or may not serve the intention that she has, but it's really a lovely thing to watch. So I enjoyed being a part of this last week and being so close to the kids.
Well, thank you. It's definitely something that we address. So as a family, we tried to get together and to spend time together, and we definitely had discussions about how we treat one another and what's allowed and what's not allowed. But, I mean, they definitely fight. I mean, don't get me wrong. They definitely fight and don't get, you know, and have issues, but that's because there's a lot of personality going on in one house, and so that's inevitable. And so we have compassion for that as well. You know, siblings are going to argue, but it's not okay to be cruel or unkind when we disagree. So we try to keep, you know, remind them of that, and when things start to go that direction. But I think also is when you were talking about seeing others' innocence, and I know there's, you know, a very common saying going around that I've seen a lot lately is that, you know, being kind to everyone because you never know what's going on in their lives. And I think that that's so true that, you know, sometimes we see people and, you know, they bark at us, or they, you know, are short with us, or they're not very kind, and we really don't know what's going on with them and their lives. And so it's just, you know, it's a good rule to just be kind to everyone, regardless of how they come back at you, because usually people who are upset need someone to be kind to them more than anyone else. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just
I
it's
think
just
that's
a good
really
rule
interesting,
of thumb.
You know, an interesting thought, because it's easy to be kind to people who are kind to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to reciprocate kindness for kindness, but it takes courage and it takes a willingness and awareness to and a desire to connect to others in order to show compassion when it's not reciprocated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really being like, for me, it's being like Jesus Christ. You know, it's that's the way he was. He was able to love with no expected outcome, no reciprocation from anyone else. His purpose was to love, and that's what he asked us to do, was to love one another. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you love me, love one another. And so it's interesting in my life that he's my example, and I try to, when I study about his life, I try to actually write down the things that he did, the words that he said, the ways that he acted when he was treated unjustly, and when he was, I mean, more than unjustly, you know, people, he was treated with cruelty and ridicule and all kinds of heinous behavior, and yet he forgave, he loved, he was concerned for others. He just is such an example of compassion. And today when I went to the doctor to get cleared, because I had had pneumonia for a couple weeks, and so today I went in to get cleared from the doctor to see if my lungs were clear and I could move forward. And I just happened to walk in, and there was this woman that I had taught school with that I had just talked to another friend about 3 weeks ago, who had lost her husband right around Thanksgiving time. And so I was able to sit down and talk to her for about 40 minutes waiting to get in to see the doctor, and just be able to let her know that what she was feeling and the experiences that she was having were absolutely normal and to be expected, and talk to her about having compassion for herself and being kind to herself. And when she felt waves of sadness flow over her, to just accept that and to let herself cry and be sad and feel those feelings. And then we talked about gratitude, and we talked about how grateful she was that her husband didn't have to suffer for very long, and that there are certainly worse things that could be and that could have happened to him than him dying, and just thinking about him suffering or lingering or wasting away for, you know, months and months or even years. And so we had the best talk, and I just felt it was cathartic for me to talk about my own loss, which occurred, you know, over 20 years ago, and how those feelings and those experiences were right there at the surface for me to be able to share with her. And we ended up saying that one of the best ways to overcome sadness and grief is to reach out to others and to help others, to have compassion for others who are going through experiences that are similar to what you've experienced, and that many times that can be the purpose for the experience that we've had, is it then helps us to have compassion and empathy for others and to be able to reach out and make a difference in their lives. And that's a way that compassion shows up. And again, it's not, the intention is not to get compassion back from someone else. It's not reciprocal. It's to be able to serve someone by having compassion, empathy, and you can have empathy because you've experienced the same thing they're experiencing. And she just was so grateful. Her husband passed away the 23rd of November, so it's still really fresh. And we talked about little things like having to pump gas the first time for yourself. For her, it was she'd never taken the trash out. Her husband had always taken the trash out. You know, just these little things that, no, if you hadn't gone through this experience, you wouldn't even think of those things. But we were able to talk about them and laugh about them. And so it was a real sharing and reciprocity of compassion for one another because of our common experience. So that was another example of compassion and being kind, but of reaching out to others because you have that empathy. It's a mm-hmm. way to really be kind to yourself as well, because helping others is a feeling that's just very positive and helps you to find the gratitude in the situation that you may find yourself in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the more that we are willing to show up for others, the more that we can accept and be kind to us about, you know, what's going on in our own lives. And then we start to see that, oh, well, maybe certain things happen to us so that we can support and help someone else through that same experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it kind of helps, you know, you let go of maybe some of the attachment that you had to a situation or, you know, something that happened that you've, you know, maybe are beating yourself up about or questioning why or whatever. And then, you know, as you support someone else going through it, you know, a little of that kind of goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Or less.
Yeah, it helps you, I think, we talk about the four no's in fearless living all the time, and we've talked about them before on our show, is, you know, no expectations, no complaining, no excuses, and no beating yourself up. And when you're engaged in being kind, it's really a way to support you in the replacing those no's with the yeses. You know, like, instead of expectations, have intentions. You know, if your intention is to be kind to others and to yourself, there's going to be a lot different kind of connection than if your expectation is that people are going to do this, or you're expecting yourself to do this, to fulfill this outcome based upon someone else's expectations, but you're really focused on your intention, and your intention is to be kind and to be compassionate. And then same thing with excuses and complaining. I mean, if you're showing gratitude and you're looking for gratitude and you're acknowledging yourself for the things that you've done that leads you towards those intentions, then it's going to be a totally different atmosphere than complaining. And if you're being mm-hmm. accountable, excuses fall by the wayside as well. And if you're not beating yourself up, then you're showing yourself compassion, and you're mm-hmm. Moving forward in that way towards the yeses instead of the noes of life, you know,
mm-hmm.
at least in the life of fearless living.
Yeah, we are out of time.
Out of time. Yeah. Oh. Have you got some final words that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I think that we've really talked about a lot of things today and or tonight, and I think the important thing to do is to be kind to yourself and to not assume negative intentions on other people's parts, to have compassion for yourself and for the people that you're interacting with, that as you're not purposely going out to hurt people, most other people are not going out to purposely hurt, you know, other people as well. And to just be kind and to, you know, let go of what you might attach to someone else's behavior coming back towards
you.
Yeah,
I think one thing that really helped me was I heard, I don't know, I think it was Rhonda, I heard her at a Fearless Foundation workshop saying that, you know, other people that are behaving in ways that we may interpret as negative or hurtful towards us, if you can just think that they have needs that they're trying to fulfill, and they may be fulfilling those needs in a negative way, but that's what they're trying to do, is fill those needs, those same human needs that we all have as members of humanity. And just that helped me a lot to think about people I was holding grudges against or people I hadn't forgiven, you know, that they were just doing the best they could do to fulfill their own needs, you know, their own need to be loved, their own need to be accepted, their own need to feel valued, you know, whatever that need
mm-hmm.
is. And just to think of it in that way. And that helped me a lot to be more forgiving and more compassionate. So anyway, we've talked about a lot. You're right. So hope that you will join us again next week. I hope that you will go to our website and you will leave thoughts and questions and comments that we can get to know you and connect better with you. And again, Kelly, thanks for an awesome family. And this week has been really mm-hmm. special for me to be able to spend so much time with them. And in the meantime, be fearless and practice
freedom. Good night.
Good night.